What's up, everybody? Joshua Thomas Gray here with another episode of We Are Human. Basically, with my co-host, Mark, the unofficial co-host, right? You would say, I mean, essentially, we've deemed you the co-host of We Are Human. Who else comes on like you do?
I don't know who else comes on like I do, but I'll
nobody,
take it.
Nobody, Mark.
You know? I'm always down for a promotion. Oh, gosh. Yeah.
Yeah, man. I mean, today we just want to kind of do a little update, talk about some things that are going on in the world. And
yeah,
just hang out, actually. More like talking. And we were even just talking before we started rolling on how it's crazy. Maybe there are podcasts that do this. Obviously, we don't know every podcast that exists. But how come there aren't some podcasts with some friends who live in like the opposite side of the world? And they just podcast when they have phone conversations. I would listen to that. That sounds interesting.
Yeah, that totally actually does. But also the biggest problem, I think, with a lot of these, podcasts with episodes where people are not in the same room is that oftentimes they're kind of hard to listen to because they're like trying to catch their voice from the Zoom.
Oh yeah,
speaker
dude.
Of their MacBook, and it's like,
that's rough.
It's, like, it's, you know, do you know what I mean?
I don't want to listen to that. I want someone to do what we're doing, where they each record their own great audio, and then they send it to each other, and somebody edits it together. That's what I want to listen to. I don't want to listen to more Zoom terrible internal computer audio. That's rough.
Oh, 100%. Yeah.
Oh. Well, Mark, one, I wanted to hear about what you're doing with Mirror Coffee and kind of what's going on over in, it's not so much in Guatemala though, right? You just give us the rundown. People are like, what's this guy even talking about?
Oh, you're talking about the hurricane thing?
Yeah.
Sick. Yeah, so pretty much for those of you who don't know, and many people actually don't know because stuff like this doesn't always get on the news, especially when there are quote unquote more disastrous things, more important things to worry about in life. What's it called? Yeah. So, Central America just got hit by two, pretty big massive hurricanes. The first one hit, it's called Hurricane Eta, and then the second one hit like literally days after. So people are like still recovering and trying to get past this, the first hurricane, and they just get destroyed by a second one. And a lot of those people are coffee farmers, obviously, you know, because that's such a big part of their world down there. And so what we decided to do with Mir is that we just said, hey, like between Wednesday and Friday midnight, all the sales that are going to come through from our Guatemalan coffee, 100% of those sales are going to go to hurricane relief. And that was just our way of just doing our part, you know, simply because like we can only give so much, and we did give from a little bit of we did lose on this for sure. But then also it was awesome to see a lot of people come and partner alongside us and give, you know. It's we actually just recorded a little conversation with my brother about this of like, you're still going to buy a coffee bag, but if you buy it now from, you know, Bob and Zoe, your money is going to go 100% to hurricane relief, which is super awesome.
Yeah. And do you mean by like if they buy from you guys, if they buy from Mir, it will go to hurricane relief, which is sick. And that's kind of like, it's been cool to see, one, how many people are like super pumped that you guys are doing this, two, that you guys are using your platform to raise awareness on the issue, and then three, I don't remember what three was, but it's cool to see you guys doing, like giving back to the farmers. Oh, that's the third thing. It's kind of fulfilling the purpose of Mir, right? In a sense, I know there's like a lot more to it, but
this is
a direct way to accomplish the mission of Mir, which has just been super cool to see. And it's been super cool to see your guys's customers and audience, whatever you call them, like just attached to it and be so pumped that you guys are doing this. I think it's been cool. So anybody, are you guys still doing it or is it over?
No, it was over. It was just like a 3-day thing.
Yep. That was super cool. But people should follow you guys on Instagram, which is just Mirror Coffee.
Mirror Coffee Roasters. Okay. But if you type in Mirror Coffee, I'm sure it'll come up.
Because you guys are always doing cool stuff like this. So anybody who drinks coffee should definitely do that.
Yeah. Thanks, dude. Well, it was probably one of the most fulfilling things since we've started. We actually hit our 1-year anniversary probably on that week, actually. And it was like, dude, this is what it's about.
Yeah. Dude, that's sick. I can't believe it's already been a year, too. That's insane.
I can't believe it either. Like, dude. Four more years to go until, you know, that threshold of you the make
threshold.
It.
Threshold? Dude, I'm like at, I think we're basically year 5 of Anthro. And, hey, hit right in a pandemic, so it's going horribly. it's not great, but it also is scalable, so it's not really gonna die. I would have to just be like, no, I don't want to do this anymore, which is definitely not the case. Like, we're pivoting, we're learning. It's just freaking so difficult right now, especially then as like LA and Washington, and I don't know, I'm not familiar with all the other states, but like the two states that are relevant to Anthro and myself, like, are both going back into lockdowns, which just made it feel like all the progress that companies made, feeling comfortable to maybe start, you know, using some money again and like doing promotions, making videos, creating content. It felt like, okay, we're almost getting to that point, and now it just felt like they just smacked that back down, and it's like, it still doesn't make sense for a lot of companies to just be like, yeah, we'll hire a external agency to make us a bunch of content. So it's just figuring out like what the heck is going on and what the future holds and looks like, which is not really what I wanted this podcast to be about. In fact, actually, I would say that that has led into this whole year has kind of led into more focusing on like working at my YouTube channel, getting more in depth on influencers, and which also leads to the last video I just made where we worked with, oh look, I'm wearing their hat, Pair of Thieves, and I got them to donate like hundreds of pairs of underwear and socks, and then we partnered with, oh my gosh, I'm repping everybody, the Do Good Bus, which is a nonprofit here in LA. And got a whole bunch of friends together, and we handed out to the homeless population here, like literally like right there, a block away from my house. And dude, we could have handed out, we got 100 goodie bags, and we handed them out just from like here to like my friend's house down the beach. We could have handed out another 200 bags just on the boardwalk.
That's insane.
It was super insane because we were just, after we finished, I was just like, oh my gosh. One, it only took like an hour, maybe two, to hand them all out.
Yeah.
And we didn't even get half of the people that are just on this one strip here in Venice Beach. So that was just like, dude, oh my gosh, that's crazy.
Yeah. That's spectacular though. I've yet to watch the video, but I've been meaning to do that. I think it was released this morning. No?
Yesterday.
Yesterday morning. Okay.
On Thanksgiving.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm going to give it a listen for sure. A watch. But maybe we should do something with Mirror. Something along the lines of that. That's so dope though.
Yeah.
I'm a huge fan.
It was kind of like a test trial of like, can we partner with a company for profit who will basically use their donations to let me give the donations on behalf of them. So I'm not getting paid. I'm not making any money, but it's still a brand deal. Like, the brand is still letting me like be their voice. And then I worked and helped a nonprofit. And we actually were able to give $1,000 to the nonprofit too, which was like a surprise at the end that they didn't know about, which was also like, dude, it's it's exactly like what I would love to do. I mean, even in our travel stuff, we typically always partner up with a nonprofit. Yeah. We're not really paying like tour guides, and we're not paying for like, you know, that kind of thing. We just embed ourselves with nonprofits, and because they just are so on the ground and know the neighborhoods, and they're investing in communities. So that's like what we like to do. But dude, how sick to be able to partner with brands, like help the nonprofit do what they do by like, you know, giving, but then surprising them with like someday like big donations, just like $50,000 checks.
Yes.
How sick would that be?
Dude, I think you said, hey, like, I don't want this podcast to be about that, but that's actually, I think, what we were going to be talking about. That I think that ties in a lot with what we were talking about, that that I think the world in general is shifting more and more into that kind of, that's what the world is wanting more of, is like people who can actually give back to the community, who can make this world a better place through whatever way they can. And because you do video and you make videos and content, it's that content is an opportunity for you to show and share with the world that, hey, there's a way that we can give back, you know? We talked about this because that was the Yes Theory video, of that he goes to Afghanistan, you know, randomly, and actually ends up giving to this guy who's trying to start this nonprofit to help children schooling and stuff like that. And to see a video like that go viral, it just tells me that the world actually, like, we're shifting kind of our perspective as a general consensus, not as individuals, not like, oh, it's just the church doing this, oh, it's just the nonprofits that are doing this, whatever. No, it's actually shifting to everybody. And one of the biggest ways we've seen it this year is through the whole, you know, standing up for racial injustice, is that we're starting to become aware of the things that we've just become, it's become such a big norm in our life, whether that's racial injustice or like, you know, your products being made unfairly or people taking advantage of child labor, you know, X, Y, and Z or whatever. You know what I mean? And we're starting to become aware of this because a lot of this stuff is being shown to us through video content, which that's the kind of video content that you're actually creating, which I think is super, super powerful. I don't know. That was a really hard switch, but I just went for it because I'm like, I think this deserves to be noted.
Yeah, totally. I think that also, though, leans into our conversation we were having about Peter McKinnon and his DJI, like, promo, ad, video, everything, and how right when I see this, I immediately go to, like, this. Peter McKinnon is creating the future of an agency. Peter McKinnon is the distributor. He's the agency. He's the creative. He is everything. So it doesn't make sense now that YouTubers are getting so good. The productions are so high. This was like the first time that I saw, I mean, a lot of Peter's stuff is really good, but this felt way more polished and a lot more like a traditional agency ad for a video, where it was just like high-end cinematography, well-lit, good locations, good props, good talent. It just was hitting everything. But he still integrated himself into it. He still made it YouTube. But it was way more traditional agency.
Yeah.
And at that point, it just does not make any sense to me for a brand in the future to hand over $150,000 minimum to make a 30-second commercial when they could give Peter, I don't know how much he gets paid to do that, but they could give him $300,000 and it would still make more sense economically than to pay the agency who pays like all these other people who then distribute it in all these different ways.
Yeah.
Like, he has the built-in audience. He has the production company. He has himself. So you're getting everything from one person. So yes. As brands start doing that and people like Peter are paving the way to that future end goal, but I think this will happen in two ways too. Like the Yes Theory way, where they just create their own content. They're even building, I mean, that Afghanistan video was a little bit different because they themselves donated that. But if they had more time and they planned it out, they could have easily got a brand deal to have given money to those people. And we see that all the time. Like Mr. Beast is creating the new game show model, and he's just taking brand money and boom, giving it as the prize. And then a lot of times he gives it away to help people. But there's no reason that you couldn't be creating your own content, your own films, your own whatever you want, partnering with nonprofits and giving huge donations. I mean, for some of these people, $100,000+ donations each time. That's crazy. And it would still make more financial sense than everything that currently is happening. And it's also just a new way of doing it. It doesn't really, all these pieces don't totally exist yet. And there's just like these few people that are kind of pioneering it. And I'm just like seeing it all. And I'm like, we could do that and that and that, put it all together. And that could work. Like you could just keep doing that over and over and over again and be building an audience that wants to see. I mean, if we're wrapping it back to the video that I just made, which was like the thumbnail's me holding underwear, and I think it says be thankful, so check that out on my YouTube channel for context. But it's like I partnered with a brand. I asked the brand, hey, could you give us a bunch of your products so that we can give it to the homeless because they need what you have? But then also, would you give a donation? Because they already give donations. Companies are already donating this money. I didn't ask them to give me anything that they were not already planning on giving. But I'm pushing a video out and showing and creating content that they can use. So it's actually benefiting them. And so it's like somebody with an audience, or someday when I have a bigger audience, it will not be difficult to just do this all the time. Every week we could be pumping out a new video, working with another nonprofit, traveling anywhere. I mean, like, dude, with Mir, we could partner Mir, me, you, and another brand, go to South America, make a video raising awareness on the issues and giving a huge lump sum of money to a nonprofit that is on the ground, that's a smaller nonprofit. I mean, we could work with all, but it's cool sometimes to work with local, smaller nonprofits because they can work a lot more efficiently in that area.
Yeah.
But yeah, this was just like a cool project to kind of, now I can show other brands, I can show other people and be like, hey, look, plus it's technically like the first brand deal that I've done, which is cool.
Yeah, I mean, what better way to kick something off like that than doing it that way? It's just, there's so many upsides, there's so many plus sides, there's almost no negatives.
It's a lot of winning. It's winning for me, it's winning for the brand, it's winning for the nonprofit, and
it's winning for people.
Yeah,
the people who receive those you know, gifts. It's incredible.
Yeah, but now we just need a bigger audience because this video is, one, not performing super great, which is another, that's what's cool about the Yes Theory video. To see it performing well, even for them, was very encouraging, because typically, like, this happens. I see a lot of YouTubers do something that's a little more meaningful, and it underperforms. I do think you're right, though. I think this is, you just have to do it right, and you have to build the right audience, and...
But once again, if it was easy, everybody would do it. But at the same time, it's like, I think we're only stepping into a world that's actually going to start craving that more and more. And I think 2020 is the tip of the iceberg for that. I think it's just going to be so, I mean, I'm maybe just way too optimistic about this concept because it's what I want it to happen. So I'm almost telling it to happen. But it's just that like people are going to start to want to see, like, I want to see people stand up for something good. I want to see people stand up for impacting the world in a better way and benefiting. It's not just a selfish, like, oh, I'm just doing this to gain an audience, or not in a selfish way of like, oh, I'm just ticking the right boxes and saying the right things, but looking for brands, companies, individuals who are like, dude, this is at the core of my existence. This is what I actually want to do. And I mean,
Yeah, man. I mean, I think that's 100% true. I think it's what we talk about a lot, where it's like, of course we could cater creating content to an audience and try to make stuff that is maybe a little more catchy, more viral, more like that, or focus on finding really what we want to be doing and finding the people that are attracted to it and slowly building, because in 10 years we'll be like the experts in that, which I think you're right. I see the trajectory of the future going in that way. So I think it makes sense to just keep pushing down the road that we want to be going. Yep. Something I did want to say, and before I hung up on you, was the idea of, imagine if there was a website where, like, setting you up with a pen pal, but you get set up with somebody that you start podcasting with once a week. Instead of writing each other letters, you just hop on and have a phone, but it records it as a podcast. So you get set up with a pen pal,
dude,
and you talk to each other every week. But they're from like somewhere else.
What happens if there was a big podcast that just recorded episodes of that happening? They're like random conversations. Like, today we have a conversation between a 13-year-old, you know, like a high school student or whatever, and an 18-year-old graduate.
Yeah.
And it just rolled into this random conversation. They're like, what the heck?
That could be cool. Okay. Anyways.
Okay.
Thanks, Mark. Nice talking. Thanks, everybody, for listening. Stay tuned for more stuff. Later.
That's wonderful. Later.